outlining the criteria for the appointment of ambassadors. Among others, he then says, you know what it means to be an ambassador. You eat and you drink on behalf of the masses. I think this is uncalled for and must be censured by the department. It gives a very bad reputation about the country, but I also think that it reflects very badly about the department and why we have representatives of the president in other countries. So I'm just attentioning the department to that video. One, to check with His Excellency Nkiki Mashinze what he means, and two, to take appropriate action to censure him for making such statements that bring the department and the country into disrepute. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosi. We also welcome the two deputy ministers, Honorable Boetes, who has joined us today, is on the platform, and Honorable Candice Mashego Dlamini. They are here. Do we have some apologies before we come to what Honorable Nkosi has said? Lubabal?
Thank you, Chairperson. We have one apology from the minister. She's in Bali attending the G20 summit. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much. Honorable Nkosi, as soon as you this morning brought the matter you have just raised now to my attention, I looked for it and I found that video clip where the ambassador is not alleged. He is speaking himself and saying he used to be a businessman, and he failed as a businessman. He went on to say he then became a public servant, and he also failed as a public servant. He then said, it's easy to become ambassador. The only thing you have to do is to fail elsewhere. And when you have failed elsewhere, you then become an ambassador. And when you are an ambassador, you don't do anything else. What you do is to eat and drink on behalf of the masses. That's where the video ends. Now, I think that is uncalled for, as you were saying. Honorable Nkosi, total misrepresentation of what we stand for as a country. I don't know whether the department has seen this, what they are going to do about it. If they've not seen it, I will request that the department go and look at it and then come back to the committee. Honorable Boetes or Honorable Mashego, is there anything you want to say before we get into the actual agenda item for today?
Hello, good morning, Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I think on the method that the Honorable Nkosi have reported and that you have alluded to, Chair, we have been made aware of that matter. And, you know, we have sensitized the Director General and the Minister on the contents thereof, and obviously also forwarded this particular video to them, which obviously was done in the full glare of you know, the media, because it was a briefing on the you know, our COP27 launch of the pavilion. So we do acknowledge firstly that it has been obviously in the full purview of the public, but secondly, it's really the antithesis of what we stand for, you know, in terms of the diplomatic corps. So we have formally requested that this matter actually be taken up, and we further note and appreciate the, you know, the fact that members of the PC have also become aware of this matter. It's highly regrettable, and I think we will keep you
Mashego Dlamini. Okay, the Deputy Minister doesn't seem to hear me. Thank you very much for that undertaking, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister Boetes, that this matter will be attended to. It's just that we are a democracy. If we're not a democracy where you must follow all this protracted due process, inquiry, hear the other side of the story, appeal, and all those other things, we will immediately terminate this ambassador, because his expressions are very unpatriotic, man. I don't think he qualifies to be an ambassador to represent South Africa. Totally, I don't think he qualifies. And but as you say, go back to the department, look at the facts. But if it was possible, that ambassador should immediately be kept, or he should be suspended pending an inquiry. But look at it, Deputy Minister, as you say, and your team, and then come back to us. Honorable Bergman.
Chair, thank you very much. And if I may, I'm not sure what the ambassador has done wrong besides being unpatriotic, because I believe what he's saying is actually very true. And until the Foreign Services
Ambassadors must just be drunkards.
No, it's not true. No, that what's been happening up until now, the way that promotions have been taking place, is that
yes, but what he says is a misrepresentation of what we believe in as a country. If I may,
the Foreign Services Bill is hopefully going to protect us from promoting
No, Honorable Bergman, my problem with your sentiment is that you are saying you are agreeing with him, because that is what has been happening all along, and I don't agree with you.
Chair, if you look at some of the past ambassadors, we've even promoted people that are costing us a lot of money medically, because they're not even medically fit, but we're promoting them because they still...
I'll come back to Honorable Duffman. Honorable Mbaza?
No, Chair, can I please call a point of order?
Okay.
Yes, a point of order, Chair, is that, first of all, this item, you allowed it using your own discretion as a chairperson because of its sensitivity. And also its national importance. Now, I don't think that it was an item for debate. And there has been an engagement with the executive in the person of Deputy Boetes. There has been an undertaking that the matter is going to be looked at. So my point of order, Chair, is that let us not preempt those processes and even express views of whether it's correct or not. I think my point of order is that just leave the matter, then at the right time, it will be put on the agenda appropriately, and we'll get a report as the Deputy Minister is undertaking to do so. That's my point of order, Chair. Because we will also enter and engage, and then it will not be good for the meeting, because I think the direction that the Honourable is taking now is really not taking us forward.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much, Honorable Mbanza. You are right. You are in order. It will appear like you are already having a hearing ourselves. So I think let's try and move away from this particular matter. But let me not take your right away to speak, Honorable Darkman. But please, don't make assertions that when one person or five people out of 116 ambassadors of South Africa, if 15 of them do something, that is a total representation of what we do as a country. I don't agree with you, and I don't think you must go in that direction, because it's going to lead to unnecessary debate. You yourself in your own party, if somebody who the DA can go to a target and do something wrong there, we can't say it is the DA's behavior. It must be the behavior of that particular person. Over to you.
Chair, allow me to finish what I'm saying, and then you'll hear what I have to say. I'm patriotic to this country, and I want this country to have the best ambassadors. So believe me when I tell you that what I tell you is in the best interest of the country, and not for the best interest of my party or your party or anyone else's party. In fact, I have ambitions to be an ambassador. What I'm saying to you is that instead of shutting people down, we must listen to what people have to say. And I do believe, I agree with you and the Deputy Minister, that we must go into hear, if it's going into a disciplinary hearing, we must hear what the ambassador has to say.
You got frozen.
Okay. We must investigate what this person has to say.
Honorable Batman, you are frozen now.
Oh, dear. I don't know. Can you hear me now?
And Babalo, I don't know whether the problem is on my side, but Honorable Bergman appears to be frozen on the screen.
Am I audible now, Chair? Am I audible now?
Honorable Chair, I think it is you that
the
Bergman is not frozen. It must be your problem, definitely not Honorable Bergman.
Yeah, I agree with Honorable Fabre. I think the problem is on the side of the chair.
Okay, Honorable Fabre, while you're chairing, if I may just finish. All I'm saying is that let us hear what comes out of this. But let us also, as a committee, let us understand the problems that are happening with our ambassadors. There's already been a report about ambassadors that are acting like celebrities, ambassadors that are representing us drunk, ambassadors that are sometimes doing things that are not correct. Let us hear these things and let us engage on it as a committee and oversight. I mean that patriotically. I mean that as a team player. I don't mean that as a person taking the rugby ball and running away with it to go to the goalpost by myself. I mean that as someone that cares about the country and the image of the country on the world stage. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Berosman. Thanks, Honorable Members. Honorable Deputy Minister, we repeat your undertaking and we agree with it. You will go and look at this incident. If there are any other incidents, you will also bring them to our attention. Bring the reports. Please try and do it as quickly as possible within the next 7 days or so, because we are now getting into December period where Parliament is likely to rise, so that we can deal with this matter. Secondly, we can't dictate to the department what to do, but I think at a public level, there must be some preliminary statement which is going to be issued by the department clarifying its stance on this particular matter relating to this ambassador. Okay, Honorable Members, let's now move to the agenda of today and give over to the department to do the presentation, after which we will then have an engagement. Over to you, Honorable Buertes or Honorable Candice Mashego Dlamini.
We have Dio Masego Dlamini that will lead the presentation on
okay.
The
board. Okay. Since you are on a cover again.
Maybe if Chair can just indicate to DM that she's not audible, she must just unmute Chair.
Ask Candice, we can't hear you. Is there somebody there, Luwabalo? Can you call somebody who is with the Deputy Minister just to indicate to her that she has to unmute because she can't hear us?
And not okay.
Chair, I think
she can if she wants to be audible, she can log out and log in again. She'll be then be audible.
Yes. In the meantime, Honorable Boetes, can't you just get one of your guys to try and reach the PA or whoever of the deputy minister, and then when are you proceed, if you've got the notes with you?
Yes, yes, I will do that, Honorable Chair, but like we always indicate that we are, you know, sharing
responsibility.
Yeah, so I think that at this stage, I must just check quickly with the team, you know, maybe just within the next 10 seconds, if the team is not available, then I can start, Chair.
Okay.
But I think I just wish to indicate, Chair, that the delegation today from the side of Durco is headed by Nuntati Clayson Munyela, who is the head of public diplomacy, and also acting
We have lost you, Deputy Minister Boetes. Lubabalo, you were calling me. What is the issue?
Oh, no, sir. It was at the time when we lost you, Jefferson.
Oh, no, I'm back now. You know, we're here in Mafikeng. We have 2G. So we are not like Cape Town and Johannesburg and Pretoria. We're in the periphery of key infrastructure developments in this country. Honorable Masego Candice, are you back? Honorable Boetes sounded like somebody was walking or running towards Honorable Candice Masego.
No, I just tried to...
Now we can see you. You look like a pilot.
Okay, let me just disconnect the Bluetooth quickly, Chair.
Is he the real pilot?
He's a pilot of international relations.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair.
Over to you, the Deputy Minister. Just go back a little bit so that you can update properly on the screen.
Yes,
yeah,
Chair.
Okay. Okay, here is our sister now. Honorable Candice Masego Dlamini, you are now reconnected. There were problems or glitches relating to your audibility. Now we can see you. You are audible. Honorable Boetes was trying to look for you, but here you are. Now we are happy. You can proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
He was literally running towards you.
I can see. Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also greetings to members of the Portfolio Committee, members of the senior management of our department and Parliament. I welcome this opportunity to make this introductory remark to outline progress that has been made with respect to the building of the permanent precinct for the Pan-African Parliament. Let me preface the presentation by indicating that the PAP is one of the important African Union organs hosted in South Africa since 2002. As we have made presentations before, it's significant as one of the first organs to be hosted in South Africa has been compounded by ambitions and expectations that we have not been able to fulfill due to issues beyond our control. Other African Union organs based in South Africa include the African Union Development Agency, that was known as NEPAD, the African Peer Review Mechanism, and the African Commission on Nuclear Energy. South Africa's ambition, Chairperson, as a host country, was and still is to build an African Union house where all the African Union organs in South Africa can be housed under one roof. The identified site is in Midrand, Johannesburg. Environmental impact assessment issues, which delay the identified site for building. Regrettable, this was further compounded by the illegal sale of the site twice. The legal processes for the recovery of the site are proceeding and headed towards the right direction. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is leading the legal processes. Without discussing the merit and demerit of those legal processes, DECO and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure have been meeting 2021 to resolve these issues and other issues pertaining to the host country agreement. Progress has been made by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, which is also responsible for the site development. This presentation, Chair, will therefore provide an overview of the developments, and DECO is ready to provide regular updates on this issue and any clarification. Chairperson, at this point in time, I request your indulgence that we hand over to Chief Director, Mr. Luvuyo Ndimeni, to give a full presentation about the matter on the agenda. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, baie dankie, Deputy Minister. Geen probleem. Kan jy voortgaan, meneer? Yes, I was saying you can proceed.
Chair, we can't hear the presenter.
Yeah, I thought the presenter was gradually coming in terms of the voice. Audibility is not there. Can somebody bring to the attention of the presenter? We can just see the mouse on the screen and the title of the presentation. We can't hear the presenter. Make a plan, Deputy Minister, for somebody to bring to the attention of the presenter that is on mute.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes,
I hope I'm not the only one.
Yes, I'm using another device.
You are breaking all the time.
Person?
Yes, it's not seamless. Your voice is not seamless.
Yes. I am. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can also see the ceiling. Okay. It looks like you are walking.
Yes, I'm trying to get. Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. You are audible now, and you are visible. The suit, and I don't know what's the color of your shirt, but we can see. So I love feeling that. Oh, he's frozen now.
Chairperson, can I continue?
Yeah, hand for Deputy Minister.
Well, I think the person who is controlling the slides must get to the second slide. Well, Chairperson, I think the purpose of this briefing is really to update the Portfolio Committee on the progress towards the building of the permanent precinct for the Pan-African Parliament. Next slide. South Africa reaffirmed its commitment to the hosting of the PAP, which is considered by to be a very important organ of the African Union in the democratic architecture of the African continent. And PAP is currently hosted at Galaga Estate Midrand, which was intended to be a temporary, as you're quite aware that their meeting ended last week on Friday. It is believed that PAP ought to have been in a permanent precinct by now. As you're quite aware, Chairperson, that we started to host this PAP in 2002. Well, the second slide speaks about the legal challenges that we have arisen that has delayed the completion of the project. The first challenge, Chair, is that DECO and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure have held approximately 81 meetings to resolve and other major issues, the legal and other major issues pertaining to logistical and lease support to the PAP. The responsibility of the two departments are as follows, that Public Works is responsible for the site. The National Treasurer is responsible for the financing of the project. DECO is responsible for guiding the process and providing logistical support. So this is a troika issue of the PAP, chairperson, by these three departments. The challenges that we are facing, chairperson, one is that the problems with the operation of the PAP institution is a challenge. And a small permanent contingent remains behind on a full-time basis as part of the challenge. And the IT issues are also a big concern, as you're quite aware that at some other point, we need also to have all these IT issues being fixed in the building. And the other challenge is that the underutilization of the space itself. The progress, therefore, regarding the PAP building is that, one, the recovery of the fraudulent stolen portion 422, a portion of 19 of a farm, Rajasfontein, in 405. That was the PAP site that was allocated in Midrand. Then the item two is the update user accommodation required for the PAP. And item three is the resolution of the site and the environmental issues in accordance with the DFSA requirement. And item four is the collecting all compiled project documentation, drawings and construction documentation for the original project. Then item five is the development of the high-level implementation plan for the PAP project resumption and construction. We are starting with item one. The progress on item one is that the information is available in ministerial report, e.g., the site finally recovered via SIU and AFU processes. The preservation order and compliance therewith, 90 days for the other party to contest, after which the order becomes final. The site is currently fenced off and under security arrangement with DBSA. On item two, the progress is that, Chair, conditional signs of user requirement is the further way to reduce space and budget. Cross-country agreement, an issue, initially meeting on funding option and processes with National Treasurer. This is intended to be a multilateral principle within African Union offices, where we're going to house the APRM, the AIUDA, and others. As I indicated, that we are hosting three institutions of African Union in South Africa, Chair. Item three is the dependent of the ownership of the land to be resolved. But the achievement is that public works and the DFFE assistance have commenced the process of obtaining an environmental practitioner to assist in resolving the destabilized environmental issues, as we have been reporting to the committee all along, ever since we arrived in this department, that the site has got serious problem of environmental issues, which are issues that needed to be resolved besides the stealing of that particular site. On item four, Chair, a good volume of the records of the old project have been obtained and will be updated. As you're quite aware, that these are the volume of information that has been sitting with the Department of Public Works since 2002 to date. So all these documents have been recovered. Now it is updated. The programs on item five is that the high-level implementation plan exists in concept, but will need to be fixed once some of key issues are considered and resolved. So these are technical issues that the Department of Public Works is dealing with at this present moment. Then we also have a progress on the interdepartmental task team that between Public Works and Infrastructure and DECO has been meeting on weekly and bi-weekly basis since February 2021 to revive the project for the construction of the PAP on state-owned portion 442, as I have indicated previously. This necessitated the identification of factors that had led to the cessation of the project, for which earthworks has already commenced in the second half of the year 2000. The way forward, Chairperson, is that one, we are reviewing the host country agreement to ensure that PAP will not be built in vain. First reading has now been finalized. And we also had to do the identification of the project sponsor's role and also refinement of the user requirements to address space and cost issues, and the confirmation of the funding, as you're quite aware that the Treasury Department are the ones that supposed really to make sure that we've got funding for this building. And we also had to do confirmation of the project funding mechanism and possible project structuring and implementation methodologies in lieu of the substantial nature of the investment, because this is a very, very big document, a big building that we wanted to put in place there that will house even all the other organs that are housed in South Africa. In conclusion, Chairperson, an interdepartmental workshop is being scheduled to look comprehensively at several aspects of South Africa's host country agreements for all these other tabled infrastructure and institutions that are hosted in South Africa. The strategic importance of communicating South African project planning to the African Union through the mission in Addis. It needs also to be done as part of this plan. An 8 to 10 year strategic planning by DECO and DPW and the National Treasurer need also to be put in place. And the cost-cutting measures to be considered as we'll be building the building. And similarities between PAP and the ACHPRR, that is the energy shortages, and proposed solutions, it needs also to be part of the arrangement, which will really is an issue that will impact on the building that we are going to put in, and those meetings must also resolve those particular issues, as we have got electricity problem in South Africa now. Well, Chairperson, once the case has been finalized, the process will be back on track as envisaged, which means that we'll really start to build this infrastructure as it is planned since 2002. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Dr. Botes, anything to amplify? Okay, nothing to amplify. There's the presentation, honorable members. We can interact with the presentation now. Honorable Bergman, you'll be the first, followed by Honorable Desmond Muyela, the Deputy President of the ANC Youth League in historical terms. So for now, we will have those two speakers. Dr. Bergman.
Chair, thank you very much. So as the treasurer of SADC, we've been going through the same process in terms of trying to find a parliament for SADC. And obviously ours hasn't been taking so long, but the process is that we haven't put the burden on Namibia to try and find the venue. We've put it on the secretariat to do the work of trying to find the venue, or to try and negotiate and to try and do all the legwork, so to speak. So I think for Pan-African Parliament to put the burden on South Africa to have to do all the paperwork and the legwork, I think is a bit of a cheek, so to say. Secondly, because of the delay in what's happening here, and because of because we don't seem to be too near the solution, Public Works has a whole lot of buildings that are already unoccupied or I would say don't look very nice on the eye. Is it not possible for us to adopt one of those buildings? So be it in Johannesburg or be it in Pretoria, and maybe look at upgrading that building, making that building both the parliament and the offices for Pan-African Parliament. I think that could save you time, save you money, and make a nice masterpiece for that city in terms of, just in terms of upgrading.
We have lost you, Honorable Bergman. In the meantime, Honorable Muela, proceed.
No, well, thanks. Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. SOR.
Yes.
The Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Brelebova.
Amen.
Chair, let's welcome the presentation from the Deputy Minister, the Honorable Deputy Minister, PM Mashego Dlamini, the progress made so far regarding the pub building, which I think it's a long outstanding matter. By now we should have been getting a report that says we have started with the construction and so on. But Comrade Mashego Dlamini, we note the challenges faced by the department and other sister departments, like the Department of Public Works and so on. Because some of the challenges raised here, Chair, are not the challenges that must be handled by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, but are challenges that must be handled by other departments. And we want to recommend that the sooner the case is resolved, the better, because it will also minimize cost, Honorable Chair. Because once the structure is concluded, it will minimize cost so that PAP is no longer hosted at Galaga Estate in Midrand and other related meetings and so on. So we'll have
Unyamelele, yeah, Deputy President. We can't hear you.
You can't now?
Now we can hear you.
Thank you, Chair. No, I was about to conclude to say the sooner the better we conclude the matter, Honorable Chair. It will help us a lot so that we can be able to have a permanent structure that will host the Pan-Africanist Parliament in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Ke go leboga botlhatsa mo president. Moruti wa rona, Moruti can and Selinet can be. President.
Firstly, I need some more clarity and explanation on the statement that the site has serious issues or destabilized environmental issues. Can I get more light and clarity on that statement, please? What issues are we talking about here? And secondly, it is unfortunate that South Africa had to do all the paper and the legal work while other partners are just watching and seemingly doing nothing. And above that, the cost of paying for the erection of the building, which is going to be billions, I still need to understand why member states are not contributing towards the building of this massive structure. And I think that it's possible that South Africa is in a higher debt levels by now than some of the member states. So if we are owing almost 4 trillion rands and we are expected to fork out billions again alone to raise this building, I think that matter has to be revisited. We have other member states that have well-functioning economies now who are not struggling with electricity crisis like South Africa is. And so to let them just watch and see and complain that the building is taking too long, I don't think that is fair. So I'm suggesting that the portfolio committee need to consider requesting that the agreement, initial agreement, that was made that South Africa would build this on their own, has to be revisited, because this is going to be for the benefit of all of Africa and not just South Africa. Thank you, sir.
Ke lebogile thata Morutuaka, President of the South African National Civic Organization, Ntate Mpanzi.
Thank you, Chairperson.
of the portfolio committee and the four, and the chairperson of Northwest and the premier of Northwest historically.
Yeah, in historical sense.
In historical context.
Yes, and the no, former chairperson and the former chief.
And the former speaker and the former NEC member of the National Executive Committee.
That's correct.
Of the ANC.
Yeah. Factually correct.
No, Chair, yes, I fully agree with other honorable members, including the president of SADP.
Correction. There is no SADP.
ACDP.
Sorry. What did I say?
African Christian Democratic
African Democratic Party. Democratic Party.
ACDP.
ACDP, yes?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
We are in Cameroon. You must not be misrepresented.
Yes. Forgive me, Mreve, I'm a sinner. But if forgiven by you, yes, I will see heaven.
You are forgiven.
No, Chair, on a serious note, I fully concur with all other members, all the issues that they've raised. But also, I think we should also look at fast-tracking the process of migrating the issue of all property-related matters that are handled by public works and infrastructure to internal international relations and cooperation department as per the legislation of Foreign Service Act. Because you should not have this challenge going forward of depending on the public works for construction of this kind of buildings. But I want to emphasize the fact that whatever decision is taken in terms of the agreement that was signed, I will still insist that the reviewal of the decision, as the Umruti has suggested, which I also support, should not culminate in the reviewal of the pub being located or hosted in South Africa. I would really not be in support of moving that building to another third country for obvious reasons, Chair, that one, this is a legacy that we are building as a country, but also because we are a developing country ourselves. And there are other considerations about the seat of legislation, the National Assembly, that ongoing debate, particularly when it relates to the National Parliament in Cape Town. So if anything happens later on that along the lines, maybe in many years to come, then there's a decision to move the sitting of PAP to another country. At least we'll have a building, as you have correctly said in our other discussion, that will not a that will be not a white elephant, but it can be considered for usage for other government and parliamentary responsibilities. As I've alluded to the fact that there's still this unconcluded debate about the relocation of parliament in Cape Town. So that could be a consideration. So I'm just saying that whatever is decided and whatever environmental issues that are holding and all other issues, but we should not interfere with the location of PAP, which is South Africa currently, for now, until the building is done, and then maybe later on other parliamentarians, when they meet, they might decide otherwise, but not for now. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Mbanza. The embedded costs, which in some instances they will include the increase in prices, which cannot be anticipated to a certainty, interest to be paid, rates and taxes that have been paid on the land, and so on. The maintenance of the land, the security provided, which I understand is the PPSA. Those things in auditing terms may contribute to fruitless and wasteful expenditure by the department. If they can just be an indication on how are we mitigating against that. Deputy Minister, over to you and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Just hold on, Deputy Minister. There's a hand there here from Musanda.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair. This is Mr. Ndimeni. I'm just confirming that I'm connecting through Mr. Musanda's computer now. Thank you.
Oh.
And I can respond to the questions as well.
Oh, that's perfect. Now, if you got somebody to then come to your assistance in as far as that area glitch is concerned, we applaud that initiative. Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will request Mr. Luvuyo to really start responding to the questions. I was kicked off after listening to Honorable Muela, so I didn't find all the questions. Can I give it over to Mr. Ndimeni?
Siyabo.
Thank you very much, Chair, and my apologies for the technical glitches. I just wanted to maybe just respond comprehensively to some of the issues that have been raised here. The current situation as of this last week on Thursday, we meet regularly with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. We've decided on the approach of looking at this project comprehensively, because if we get the Pan-African Parliament right, it will give us an opportunity to also align the other host country agreements, which were signed at a particular point in time when we still had resources at the time. But in essence, we've looked at the option of other sites, but those options actually became even more expensive, because the buildings or other options need a reconfiguration, which has to be consistent with the Constitutive Act of the Pan-African Parliament in terms of the committee rooms, the plenary sessions, and the main supportive infrastructure that has to go with the building. One must bear in mind here that we are also looking at the whole reconfiguration now of IT infrastructure, which we've been taught by COVID-19 that we are now going to be heavily dependent on that. So in that respect, it's not a simple issue of looking for yet another building, and we would have to now go into a massive expense to do that. In the long term, which now has been resolved by the fact that we've been able to recover the land through the SIU, the SIU, and also the asset forfeiture unit, we projected that it will be an 8 to 10 year time frame, which we will require to put together a couple of things, and using what our legal colleagues are calling an interim host country agreement until we get there. And on the basis of that time frame, we've broken it down to a project plan with the Department of Public Works, which is what we are going to do. But that project plan will have to go into an entire host country agreement, which will also help us plan better. In one of the colleagues in our communication here in our meeting is responsible, is our chief information officer. We've now had approval to incorporate this interim plan using the ICT infrastructure as the broader plan for us. So that is, in a nutshell, the first response to the question around whether we can look for another building or not. And at this stage, our assessment is that it's not feasible. The second response is that we've had 81 meetings with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure looking at different options, resuscitating the program. But the main cost drivers are issues of security, the issues of accreditation, and the issues there of audiovisual equipment in support of the meetings. And now we've found a way of resolving those issues, but again, in resolving them, we will have to look at the whole approach in terms of the host country agreement so that we are comprehensive in approach. Then lastly, through you, Deputy Minister, the issue of the hosting of these organizations, in actual fact, is very, very politicized. I would not want to undermine that context. And you cannot leave it to the Secretariat to make the determination of anything that is going to affect your you as a host country. I just want to mention that it's very important that as a host country, you determine the parameters of what is it that you can provide and what is it that you cannot provide. Otherwise, you will find yourself being extravagantly pulled in different directions, which you'll still be responsible in terms of financial contributions, because your offer as a host country has certain obligations that you put. And I'll make you just a typical example. In the US, the United Nations, when the Americans offered to host the United Nations then, it has become even more costly for them now to host the United Nations, but they cannot come back and ask all of us as member states to now pay when they had originally offered. But the positive spin-off is that the spending that comes out of the Pan-African Parliament is something that we are busy strategically looking at, that most of the spending has to be within South Africa, taking into account that you are talking about spending from a dollar base to a rand, and which up to now has been positive in terms of the hospitality industry and also other aspects that are spin-offs coming from the hosting of the Pan-African Parliament. Now, this is in addition to the Outer NEPAD and the Africa Peer Review Mechanism and the AFCON. So the other agency, AU organs, are going to be housed under one roof, and it's going to be beneficial to South Africa. That's the point that I wanted to make. I hope I've covered those questions, and we will resolve the other issues that are legal, and the direction is very positive. The land has now been recouped. It's now in the control of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. So we are now in a position to plan better, knowing that we've got control of that aspect. Thank you very much, Deputy Ministers, and also to the Chair.
Okay. Is that the only response we have, Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to add that, we as South Africa and the department, we just really need to reaffirm that really we're still on the agenda of hosting the PAP and those organs that are here in South Africa. We are just disappointed by the up and down of the issues of the land and the building and so on. But the cost of the building, as you have just mentioned, that the cost has just escalated because we started so long to do this building. Now the cost has escalated. That's why we keep on revising the cost. Treasurer keeps on revising the cost because of the delay. Of course, you're quite correct, Chair, that the earthwork that has been done on the site
the fencing that has been done on the site and the security, definitely it's a cost, but it's a cost to Public Works. We don't know how they account on it, but as you said, it might be a fruitless expenditure because this thing is delaying too much, but it's up to them how they account to the Auditor General. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Kialaboha, Deputy Minister, thank you very much and your team and the honorable members for the discussions on this important matter of Pan-African Parliament. I like the input also made by Honorable Mpanza, who said that who knows, it may well be possible that this infrastructure that is being constructed in Gauteng may accommodate the decision taken, which is being worked on now, to migrate our own parliament from Cape Town to the inland. In Gauteng. So it may well be that we may be accommodated there in future, or future generations may be accommodated there. We want to thank you for the presentation, although there were glitches from the beginning. And please follow up on the matter of the conduct of that ambassador and come back to us. Honorable Deputy Minister Botes and Deputy Minister Kendith Mashego Dlamini. Thank you very much to the staff of the Portfolio Committee. The staff. Okay. Deputy Minister Muruti Arhaisi Arabi Wissing.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'll request the officials to look at the issue because I was kicked off. I came back when...
Oh, you didn't hear. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Look, Ndadelo Vuth.
Well, thank you very much, Chen. Let me just say that when you offer to host any of the multilateral organizations, you are also undertaking the responsibility to assume the funding and or diplomatic immunities and privileges. You cannot then turn halfway and do something else, otherwise you will lose the possibility of hosting. And that is a kind a process of a reversal that is almost difficult to achieve because you so many things that go with losing that aspect. And therefore, the obligation to fund anything else that comes from the hosting is always the obligation for the host country. This is standard diplomatic practice, and which is now understood. And also the Vienna Conventions, there is no provision that you host, and then you then turn around and ask other member states to assist you in funding. But it also gives you a sense of control over the expenses and the determination of what needs to go into the building. There are several pros and cons to this, but the essence of it is it's not possible to turn around and ask other member states to support it. So that is the context that I wanted to explain. And certainly the points that have been raised here through you, Chair, are also going to help us inform what is it that we need to work on in terms of the revised host country agreement. But there are some aspects that we've now identified. For instance, just to give you a sense, each time the Pan-African Parliament meets in South Africa, we've been accrediting them the parliamentarians four times a year at a cost that I already think was not worth mentioning here. But now if we are going to work towards having a twice a year accreditation, all we need to do in terms of infrastructural investment is to get scanners, and those scanners are going to help us to accredit them then twice so that there is a permanency in the accreditation, but we'll keep checking if the cars are still available. And we have calculated and discovered that we are going to save at least roughly about 4 million rands a year just on accreditation. So there are several things that we are looking at just to cut down, but all of those issues, again, are going to be issues that we factor in. And I see the CIO is in the meeting, and we are going to be working closely on that. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, Muruti, it may not be a response that you necessarily agree with, but it's a response.
I got it. Thank you very much. And then, yes. The serious issues of destabilized environmental, the site has serious issues of destabilized environmental issues. What's that?
There was an one of the issues that delayed this project since 2002, and which lended itself to the site being stolen ultimately. There was an environmental impact assessment that was done, and there is a rare species of a butterfly that was found on the site, and this delayed the project by almost, I can comfortably say, about 5 to 8 years. So what we've now done to proactively engage with this issue, we've co-opted our colleagues from the Department of Fisheries, Forestry, and DFSE to be part of us. And they've now taken this seriously, and they indicated to us that this is resolvable. So part of the package is that we work in tandem with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, DFSE. And then we also have now incorporated Treasury, which is why we're meeting on the 23rd, so that we do not want to find ourselves planning forward and then going backwards again. So, but part of the challenge has been this butterfly, and we are hoping to resolve it. Thank you.
If I hear correctly, Mudra Studo, are we saying because of the butterfly, you could not proceed with the work? It must be a very special butterfly then, yeah?
Yeah, Chairperson, environmentally, as we said, it is correctable. It is because there will be other plants that will be put back in the land so that these butterflies can still exist there. So it's just the issue there.
Yes. Unfortunately, Muruti, these are the laws we adopted, which relates to matters of environment, so it's unavoidable. I think in future going forward, the Deputy Minister and the collective, it may be important to also document anticipated economic spin-offs and other intangible value for South Africa. I'll make an example. By hosting this parliament, we will enjoy international prestige that is intangible. Among other things, from a security point of view, just like the United Nations, it means that PAP will become a national security key point. That is also value for South Africa. You must also look and include things like tourism spin-offs from this parliamentarians who come here, but also just the new ambience of South Africa in as far as infrastructure development is concerned, which will be a permanent, immovable economic variable in the broader scheme of the economy of South Africa. When they come here, they have to be transported with our brothers and sisters who will ferry them from airports and so on. Then there's accommodation, then they must go to the malls, they must go to the cinemas, they must go to other entertainment areas, they must visit other areas. So if you can just try and quantify for South Africans to understand other tangible and intangible value that will accrue to South Africa as a country and for future generations. So I was saying I thank everybody who has prepared for this meeting, participated, contributed, and this brings us to the end of the meeting. We will meet in the sitting at 3 o'clock. Thank you very much, honorable members. Enjoy your day.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bye, thank you. Bye, thank you. Can you tell that? Can you tell that?